Hello and welcome to the Dry Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. It's Friday, June 28th. We're recording this segment a little earlier than normal because of vacations and
who's going on vacation?
People are out of town, and I'm going to Texas.
What?
Gone to Texas.
How many vacations have you taken so far this year? Like five?
I've taken
six?
I take like a day off here and there.
Oh.
But I'm not gone all the time.
No,
I'm still
not.
A thorn in your side. Remember that.
No, it's not you. It's me. It seems like 4 years before I've taken a vacation. Everybody's going on vacation but me.
When was the last time you did go on vacation? Seriously. Has it been that
Christmas?
Long? Has it been that long? Why don't you go somewhere? Do you not want to go somewhere?
No, I am.
Are you addicted to M&W?
In many ways, yes. But I am going to go on vacation in October, and then
where are you going?
December.
Where are you going to go?
We're going to take a nice little road trip, mid-Atlantic road trip, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun.
How are you doing, Bailey?
I'm good. I'm here.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
So it is Friday. Bailey, yeah. Bailey made it into the studio without hurting herself this morning, so we're thankful for that.
Good job, Bailey.
She did have a little bit of a mic stand issue, but we won't get into that. She served.
But you just did.
She survived it though, and it wasn't catastrophic. There's no marks on her face or
there
body.
There weren't last time.
So, of course, last time, if you don't remember, Bailey's face ran into the mic.
It was not
last
my face.
Time.
Horrific. It was.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, she fell on the floor. She passed out. We had to.
We weren't sure she was going to make it.
It was terrible. It was very painful.
Thank you for exaggerating.
It was a very painful moment for all of us. Today's an exciting day for me because, as most of you know, I'm not a little fella, and I like to eat. Were you laughing at me, Bailey?
She's still laughing. She can't even speak because she's laughing.
So I enjoy eating is the point. And there is a pizza place up the road here that I have heard many, many people talk about. And I have never been there. I've never had pizza from there. I enjoy pizza as much as the next guy. With ranch, right? For our podcast.
What does he want?
I was giving you an opportunity there, Bailey.
No.
And so we're going to go do that today. We're going to have that. And this kind of spurred us to talk about Nashville has such a great food scene. And we thought we'd talk about food today, along with some other things. But in this first segment, I think we're going to talk about food. And then joining us in the middle segment is going to be Wayne Doris, who's been with M&W for a very, very long time. He's our director of safety. That's what you drivers know him as. But Wayne's been around the industry for a very long time. We're going to bring him in and have him talk about the changes he's seen at M&W and the changes he's seen in transportation and other things like that. But so anyway, so Joey's today.
Mm.
This is Woody. I feel like this is your thing, though.
I just had to cross myself.
How often?
Those who couldn't see.
How often do you eat there?
Not very often at all.
Because you would die.
You probably would.
The pizza we're getting today, what's it called?
The Gladiator.
It's called the Gladiator?
The Gladiator. It's a slice. It's one slice.
It's two slices. It's a slice on top of a slice.
Right. It's like a double
It's a
crust.
Slice on top of it. And what is on it?
It's more like what's in it.
Last time we got it, we watched them build one. And they literally make a pizza and they dump a bag of pepperoni and a bag of sausage and like two bags of cheese and then put another piece of crust over it and then do the same thing. And that's what we're going to eat.
That sounds amazing.
I need a moment. It's glorious.
Wow.
But yes, it's one of those things where if you ate there all the time, it probably wouldn't be special. And you couldn't take the time away from work to eat all the time, because as far as the plan is right now, unless I get busy, I'm going to go get it. And they open at 11. I'm going to leave here at 10:30. And then I'm going to go get in the line that's going to be out the door, down the steps, out to the street, and maybe up the sidewalk.
Is it?
And I'll have to park, a block away?
Yeah, last time.
So what And do they run? Is it kind of one of those places where they'll run out of food at some point during the day? Or they're just that they get to closing time?
They're only open from like 11 to 3.
Yeah.
So they're not open in the evenings.
No.
That's probably one of the reasons I haven't had it, is because typically, I don't know, I do my pizza eating in the evening.
So
you can go curl up on the couch and take a nap.
If you somehow manage to eat this entire one slice of pizza, you might be done for the entire day. I'll certainly be done for the entire day.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So we're looking forward to that. So Woody's going to go on the great adventure of getting this pizza.
It's amazing, too. And there's one lady that's there doing everything with the pizzas. This place is completely packed. The line is out the door. And there's one lady that is yelling and screaming. And it is the most perfect organized chaos that you've ever seen in your life.
It's just one family.
There's more than one worker there, though.
Well, there's Joey, who's standing there saying hi to people, and he's getting them salad and pasta from the little bar that they've got there. But there's one lady putting pizza slices in the oven, taking them out, cutting, all that stuff. Then there are people in the back making, like, putting together the uncooked pizzas. And then there's a lady at the register, and that's it.
Wow.
Amazing.
No, I mean, it sounds very Nashville, and I know it's been around for a long time. So,
and they're from New York. They're very New York.
I kind of read their went on their website and checked them out yesterday. So we're going to try that, so we'll talk about it. But drivers, we continually talk to you guys. We want you guys and office staff, whoever's listening to our podcast, if there's a place that you know of that you would like for us to talk about or try, we're always down to go try new stuff. In fact, when I first moved to Nashville, Jimmy Hoag and I, Jimmy's our director of IT, there was an article, I think, in USA Today that said that Nashville was the best place for barbecue in the country. And the reason that they wrote this article was because of all the different kinds of barbecue we have here. You know, like Texas has got their style, North Carolina's got their style, Memphis has got, you know, their style. But, like, we have all those different styles. Like, you can go to a barbecue, a more, you know, like, for instance, Mission Barbecue at Opry Mills. Although it's a chain, it has fantastic barbecue, and it's more Texas style, you know, in my opinion. And then if you go, you know, Jack's is more Texas style.
Well, and that has to do also just Nashville is the hot city to be in.
Absolutely.
And so you've got all these restaurateurs that are, you know, maybe on the downside in their cities or fizzling out or just looking to do something new, and they can come here to Nashville. I mean, it's absolutely blown up, and there's five-star cuisine and anything you want around every corner now.
So where would you say is your favorite barbecue in the city? Like if somebody was coming into town, and let's say they're from the north somewhere and they've never had real good barbecue, where would you take them? And we've talked about this before. You are a great pit master. I mean, you are. So, I mean, you can't. I know you probably will cook them some of your stuff. But if they said, "Hey, we want to go out, we want to go see the city," like, where would you take them?
I guess for the whole experience and for the whole Nashville thing, and also to get really good barbecue. I mean, Jack's is hard to beat. Whether Jack's it's on Church or downtown.
Well, and there's the, yeah, I mean, I like to take people over off Charlotte because you can park.
I mean, Charlotte, that's what I meant to say, sorry.
As a new Nashvillian?
Yeah, Bailey, what do you think?
What is Jack's?
Jack's is just, Jack's is a famous, yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I would say that too. If somebody was coming into the city because he's a Nashville guy, he's been here for a long time. In fact, the location off of we said Church.
What Charlotte.
Is it? Charlotte. I just said it. That used to be where the old city jail was. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they have all kinds of historic stuff in there, but they have some of the best brisket I've ever had.
Yeah.
Now it depends on when you get it. If it just came out of the oven, if you're getting, you know, kind of what you like. You know, one thing that I've noticed too about a lot of these barbecue places, their barbecue is pretty good. You know, like nobody has really bad barbecue. To me, almost what sets them apart is their sauces. you know what, yep. you know, and Jack's has that Tennessee Sweet Hot
yep.
sauce. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know that we could, there's so much food around here now. I don't know how, unless you're a food critic and you do that for a living, I don't know how you can actually say who's the best, because
there's so many.
15 new restaurants popping up every single week.
And what's funny to me is that I'll have family or people that are like coming into town, and they'll be like, hey, tell me some places to go. Tell me where I should go. And I'll be like, go here. I'll give them like here, 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 and here. And they'll be like, I've never heard of any of those. And they'll be like, we've been told to go here, 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 and here. And I'm like, I've never heard of any of those. There's so many.
Bailey, being new to town, where do you like to eat in town? I know you've got your lunch spot that you like to go to.
Yeah, what's your lunch spot, Bailey?
It's dinner, I think.
Where do you get your poke bowls?
Well, when I am out of lunch food, I go to the one in East Nashville, and it's called Kauai Poke. It's pretty good. But the one I go to every Friday is over on West End. It's called Poke Bros, and then we had one in South Carolina when I was at school.
What is it?
It's like a sushi bowl.
Okay.
So, sushi rice, some cool. avocado.
Sounds amazing.
Onions, raw salmon.
I've not heard of that. What about steakhouses? Like, are you guys, for our drivers, because I know a lot of drivers love steakhouses, have you been to any of the big steakhouses in Nashville yet?
You know, I haven't. We've talked about my family's vegetarian life. So, I've been to a lot of really good steakhouses across the country.
Yeah.
As long as we're plugging a bunch of restaurants for free in this podcast, for my money, the Hermitage Steakhouse in Hermitage on Lebanon Road is really hard to beat. Because
for the money, yes.
Yeah, you get a really, really good prime cut of steak, whatever you want, and a salad bar that can't be beat.
No, it's old school too.
It is, and it's an old school, you know, dark oak kind of restaurant. Well,
that building is almost like a cabin.
Yeah,
like an old cabin. Yeah,
and you can afford to go there.
Yeah, I think. Well, what's cool about, you know, a lot of the big expensive steakhouses, you know, like everything's a la carte.
Yeah.
So by the time you pay for your filet, $40, and then you add a couple sides and a drink, like you're. I mean, it's hard to get out of there for $70, $80, $90, $100 a person. The nice thing about the Hermitage Steakhouse is that, yes, you're for $35, you're getting the salad bar and I think one or two sides.
Yeah, it's been a little while, but
you can actually get in and out of there for really good. And then if you want to spend a ton of money, in my opinion, you want to go out and have like a super high end experience, I would go to Jeff Ruby's. It's my favorite.
I've heard about it. I've never been there.
He's from Cincinnati and he's got, I think, restaurants in Lexington, Louisville. Nashville, Columbus. So he's not a chain. He just has multiple locations, and I'm telling you, it's fantastic. And they do sushi there, and they always have like somebody playing in the piano bar. You might even see Elton John in there one night. I know you're a big fan.
I am a big fan.
You were singing it this morning in the coffee.
I was. I've been singing it for 2 days. I saw that movie.
How was it?
Amazing.
We can't plug too much because we're not getting endorsements.
We are giving a lot of free pub out today. But no, this is a great. It was a great movie. Rocket Man did a fantastic job showing the crazy life that Elton John lived for the first half of his life, and it produced by Elton John. So I got to take it as fairly true anyway.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We love to embellish, though.
Yeah,
we all.
I'm sure he did a little bit, but it was it different than any other biopic you've ever seen.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to go see it. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
And yeah,
he's got some great songs. There's no question about that. So, well, cool. Well, we've addressed some of the nice restaurants that you can try. Drivers, if you have any ideas or thoughts about places like that, please let us know. We'd love to try them, and we'd love to talk about. The things that you guys like while you're driving out there on the road. Just remember, you can find us anywhere people podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify. You can sign up to get an email every time a new podcast is released. We're up over 100 total listens, so that's exciting. So we continue to grow and grow and grow. So we are definitely excited about that. Joining us next, coming up, Wayne Doris, M&W Safety Director. We're going to talk about his history here and what's going on. You're listening to The Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Stay tuned.
Hey, M&W, this is Bart. Do you know about the Ally Health Telemedicine? This is a benefit M&W offers where you can speak to a doctor on the phone without physically going to a doctor office and paying for an office visit. They can treat things such as cold, sinus, rashes, headaches, insect bites, skin inflammations, and more. It's only $2.50 a week, and it covers everyone in your household, and there is no limit to how many times you can call. Once you set up your account by entering your information for you and your family, then you select your pharmacy. There's an app that you can download, you can go through the steps, and even upload a picture, and a doctor will call you to discuss your symptoms. This is not associated with your medical insurance. The only time UMR insurance will come into play is if you get a prescription, and the doctor you're speaking with on the phone will send that prescription in for you. My family and I have used this 6 or 7 times, and we love it. It has saved us hundreds of dollars by not having to go to an urgent care or walk-in clinic or see our primary care doctor. If you can eliminate one urgent care visit, this benefit is paid for itself for the entire year. You can enroll at any time. It will just not be effective until the first of each month. Please let me know if you're interested. You can also complete the enrollment form on your Paycom app.
Hello, I'm TC Harris, driver of truck number 568, and you're listening to The Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
Welcome back to The Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
Ready for some Joey's?
Are you ready for some Joey's? I mean, based on your dinner reservations for tonight, I'm a little concerned about it, to be honest with you.
I'm real concerned
about it. You were the one that first came up with the concern, but I'm concerned now.
Yeah. We all know, and you're about to learn, that the Gladiator can set you back. And in many ways, your day might be done, and so my kids have been away at camp, and so Jennifer and I are going to go out to our favorite Indian spot tonight.
Indian food.
Indian. Mm-hmm. And
you're going to do Joey's for lunch.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have Indian food tonight for supper.
I see where you're going. There could be.
Are you trying
issues?
Like, this is a celebration with your wife, right?
Right.
The last time you are around without kids.
Right. Gladiator.
And you're going to do the Gladiator, which I've not had yet.
Chased with Indian.
But I've heard about, and I've heard all the stories.
No.
And then you're going to finish it off with Indian tonight.
No, this isn't. This is very sophisticated, sensible portions kind of Indian. It's a step up from the normal Indian food that you get at the chain places or some of the places in Nashville. It's really, really good. I will eat sensibly, and everything's going to be just fine.
That's you're a better man than me.
We'll see. Report on the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll see if Woody may not be married anymore when he comes back from this weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. I am looking forward to Joey's. That's going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, we are excited to have joining us a legend.
No doubt.
An M&W legend among legends. Among few legends here at M&W.
Yeah. If you had to choose one, this might be the one.
Certainly the Building B.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt. No doubt. W.D. Doris, as I refer to him. What's going on, Wayno? How are you doing today?
Good. Glad to be here. I appreciate you asking me to fit in or whatever.
Yeah, well, you fit in. You fit in with this Yahoo group back here. There's no
question.
Doesn't
take much.
So, this is actually our second take on this segment. Bailey messed the mic up. She was sitting in the corner, and somehow that made the mic fall down. So, I mean,
without even touching it or having anything to do with it. Let's just put that on Bailey.
It's
again.
Amazing. We put everything on Bailey. Something happens, it's Bailey's fault. So, Wayno, we were talking about food before you came in here. What's your favorite food place? I already know the answer to this question.
Well, you can't go wrong at Cracker Barrel, and whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and I'm hoping tonight will be my dinner plans, Cracker Barrel.
Sounds like a daggone commercial. Did you hear that? Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Oh, and I know he means it because Wayne and I travel together quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we've had some trips, Wayne, where we have barely made it out of the city before.
Oh, we usually don't make it out of the city.
Got to hit that Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
It's good.
You can't go wrong at Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
He almost died at the last one I was at.
What?
He did. It was me and it was Carm and I, and we were going to Memphis, and he was scarfing down something and started, were you actually choking?
I think I was very close to needing Heimlich.
Which I was ready to take care of.
Yeah, it was.
Did
it
you
was
jump
close
into action?
I was going to.
But I got a little water down and got it all cleared up and everything. Hey, didn't slow me down eating. Hey, guy. Right back at it.
See, my thing is, if you're going to choke at a meal, I think you're more. The chances of choking would be at breakfast because most people are drinking coffee at breakfast. So there's not a cold liquid to wash down whatever is lodged in your throat.
Right.
Right? Because most people would have a hot coffee. You're not going to be able to like down that. You know what I mean?
Almost every podcast, you say something that absolutely baffles me.
I'm pretty sure this is like a medical journal somewhere.
And you've continued the streak. Good job.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure it's in a medical journal somewhere. You know that there's got to be a statistic out there that says you are more likely to choke at this meal.
Yeah, and I think it would be wise to, Bailey, to look that up. I'm working before, on it.
Look that up, Bailey.
Before we'll go off with hot versus cold liquid choking theory.
So anyway, Wayne is still with us. He survived that encounter and just was scarred.
Good job, Wayne.
It's like a daggone conveyor belt when we go to Cracker Barrel. It's fantastic. So we love him. We love him, and I love Cracker Barrel too. I've always loved Cracker Barrel, but I love it even more now because of Wayne.
Our guest would like to speak now.
Sorry, Wayne. Go ahead.
One thing I will say out here that happens every time that Zach and I go to a Cracker Barrel is that when we get ready to check out, there's always a little something extra thrown in on the counter.
That's right.
To pay for it, whether it's Sugar Babies or Nestle Crunch Bar, or
no,
whatever.
But
something jumps in, you know. Something does
jump in. Usually it has peanut butter and chocolate combined. So yeah. For sure.
So there's no meal, but the top food is hot dog, carrots, and apples.
Hot dogs, carrots, and apples.
What most people choke on. But we're not
eating hot dogs at breakfast usually.
There's no specific meal.
No.
Right.
I thought those big cathead biscuits probably would do it.
Well, I think that's probably what got you at Cracker Barrel. So, well, Wayne, you have been at M&W for how many years? How long have you been here?
16 years now.
Wow, Ooh. 16 years.
And yes, sir.
And then how long have you been involved in trucking altogether?
Oh, Lord. Now I'm really going to hurt y'all's feelings.
I don't think you hurt my feelings.
Started in this business in 1975.
Wow.
That was a good year, 75.
I wasn't even born yet. I was -5.
Yeah.
I was just born in 75.
That was a good year for you then.
Yeah.
I worked as a billing clerk part-time after work.
Where was that at, Wayne? What company was that?
A little company called Gallatin Portland Freight Lines. Okay. That was back in the days before deregulation, and there was 100 or so different truck lines right around Nashville here, and a lot of great employment for kids coming out of high school. So I worked in a freight business. I was typing freight bills. Did that for several years up until, back when I was a kid, either one, you could get a job in a freight business, or two, go to work at Opryland. And a lot of kids my age, after school jobs, was Opryland. And people, friends of mine, worked out there.
So it was like for some people, it's like you either dig coal or do moonshine. where I come from. But for you, it was.
Where are you talking about?
For you, it was either work at Opryland or going to logistics.
Yeah.
So what did you do after that? Now you drove a little bit, right?
Yeah. At early '80s, and I'm telling my age here a lot, but the early '80s, I learned how to drive and went to work for Old Dominion Freight Lines, which is still around today, and I was an over-the-road driver for them for, about 3 years, 3 to 4 years.
Now, did you have to actually go to trucking school, or back then could you just show them that you keep that rig between the lines?
Yes. No, there were no trucking schools back in that day. You, all you did is had to go out there and get your license. Really, they didn't even give you a road test back then. But you get a special chauffeur's, and as a matter of fact, how I actually started with my CDL is that as that changed in the late 80s, I was grandfathered to get my CDL. So.
Wait, so you've never taken a road test?
I'm sorry?
You haven't taken a road test?
Road test?
Yeah, like a road test.
Yes, I did take one back then.
So you did.
Yeah, I did take a road test, but it was nothing like they go through today. Let me just put it that way.
I was going to make sure that we took you out and did a road test after this.
Well,
that would be fun.
It'd be a great podcast. I think I could still pass it. It's been a while since I've drove, but I think I could still do it.
Oh, he can drive. I've seen him drive.
I mean, you still drive every now and then. You'll pick up a truck for us, you're not hauling a load to California, but
right.
You do some shuttling periodically.
It's about like a bicycle, I think. Once you learn how to do it, you might be a little while not riding it, but you can get back on that bicycle and go. I feel like a truck. I can get right back in there and go if I had to.
So, when you came to M&W 16 years ago, what did you drive for M&W, or what did you come in?
No, actually. I was hired in as a customer service agent over in dispatch. Interview with Mike and Mark Boyette, and they had an opening or a need for a customer service person, and I was out at work at the particular time, and so they hired me in customer service. Didn't do that long. Right about a month after I was hired, we let go of our dispatcher. Mike did, and did a little rearranging of duties in dispatch, and then I started dispatching for M&W, all the over-the-road drivers.
Wow.
And then Carm came in 05 and become the operational manager, and I went over. Buford Benson, our safety director at the time, decided he was going to retire. So I moved over and started doing the recruiting because I'd done that before in previous jobs. So they put me over there in recruiting, and then Jimmy Hoag, which is in dispatch with us, he moved over into his IT position he currently is in. And Carm brought in basically his own people.
So, right.
He had a lot of the guys that he had worked with at Service Transport that came to work with us. And, of course, Eric Smith is still here.
Yeah. So. That's awesome.
It's been a pretty good run.
People don't leave M&W. How long have you been here?
I'll be here 8 years in December.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5.5 for me. Bailey, how long have you been here?
Not quite a year.
Not a year yet.
Almost.
She's the rookie. Yeah. That's why she runs into mics and stuff.
What? She just hadn't learned where they are?
I guess. That's what happens when you haven't been here for very long.
Man, she doesn't even have a mic right now to defend herself.
No, I know. So,
or a chair.
So, Wayne, of all the jobs that you've done, and I know I think that's one of the cool things about your tenure here at M&W is you've literally done everything. I mean, you drove before you came here, and then you've done customer service, you've done dispatch, you've done safety, you've probably done some, I know you've done building stuff. Like, we all kind of pick up the ball. It's kind of the M&W way. But what has been your most satisfying job? Like, where do you feel like your legacy will be left here at M&W when you retire one day?
Oh, I would hope safety would be. Not to pat myself on the shoulders, and it's not. And I try to tell drivers this or explain to the drivers. We won a lot of awards over the past 10 years, and it's not me. I say it's not me. I guess you could say I'm the coach, and we've hired and got a lot of good drivers, and that's the reason that we've been so successful is our drivers. They've been very safe. They do a good job. They get home every week and get a nice paycheck for what they do, and it's just been a great job, a great run. And yeah, if anything I need to be remembered for, it's our safety department, because we've put some plaques on the wall, and that's what's really important.
Yeah, I don't think people realize too exactly how baffling the statistics are, and under Wayne's tenure, how our accident rate, our DOT accident rate, is far below industry norms. I mean, when you're talking like 0.2 crashes per million miles, and even those are not hardly ever of any severity, and no injuries. And I mean, it's just amazing. If people saw what was going on around the country and then looked at what M&W is doing safety wise and what Wayne's been at the head of, it would blow your mind.
Yeah, there's no question that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, from Mike McFarland down to our leadership, Carm McKissick, all the way down through dispatch, Cody Means and Eric and Drew and all the guys over there that do great work, all the way through down here to Wayne. And Chris does a lot. Wayne does a ton. We've worked really, really hard on our hiring, you know, and all the things that Bart does. We just have a great team. We really, really do. And yeah, it enables us to do this podcast and cool things like that, but we certainly want to recognize those guys and gals that have gotten us to where we are, you know, for sure. And
yep,
it'll be here for it, you know, if Bailey chooses to stay at this company.
It's not gonna happen.
It'll be here for her to manage and run down the road for sure. Well, Wayne, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks for all you do for M&W, for sure.
Being here.
Yeah, absolutely. So
hopefully I'll be here a little while longer. I'm getting closer to that retirement age, and we'll see how it goes. You never know what's going to happen down the road, but it's been a great run, and I sure have enjoyed being with M&W.
Awesome. Well, Wayne, thanks again for being here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got a couple of things we want to chat about. There's a new law coming in effect July 1st, hands-free. We're going to talk about that a little bit and a few other things, so stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this. What would it be like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you're ready to retire, so is your bank account? Depending on where you are right now, that might sound crazy. But we want to help make it a reality for you and your family, and starting will only take 5 minutes. Smart Dollar is your free, 100% online, company-provided financial wellness benefit. This program gives you the practical steps, tools, and inspiration you need to make retiring a millionaire a reality. We call this the millionaire movement. When you follow the plan, Smart Dollar can help take you from living paycheck to paycheck to being able to save, invest, and give like no one else. Millions of people, just like you, have used this 7-step process to save their first emergency fund, eliminate debt, invest wisely, and even pay off their homes. The average user saves more than $6,127 and pays off $9,405 in the first 12 months. So what are you waiting for? Smart Dollar has been adding new tools and content all year long, so go check it out. Text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone, or you can call me direct at 615-620-1540 for more information. Again, text MWL to 33789 on your smartphone. Again, you can call me, Zach Pugh, anytime at 615-620-1540 for more information. Start living financially free today. It's changed my life and can change yours as well.
Hello, my name's Bo Ward, driver of truck 605, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. What a great stomach there from Wayne. That was good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Kinda Wayne's the best.
Hearing his history and everything with MNW. Bailey, what did you learn?
That I wasn't alive for most of his career.
You've always kind of rubbed that in, don't you?
Listen, you get to be mean to me when I don't have a mic and no way to defend myself, so it's just not fair, and I'm going to rub in that I'm a young person.
You are a young person, and we're great. Old. Let me say this about Bailey. I do hammer her. She has been a fantastic addition to the M&W team. I'm very personally grateful for her. She says good morning to me most days, and she is a ray of sunshine in this building. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree, but honestly, and what you just said sounds like something that you were forced to write when your lawyer told you you have to apologize if you want to continue doing this. But if you're, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you really feel that way, then that's great.
I am grateful for Bailey. I think she's been a great addition to our team.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And I'm sorry that didn't come across, you know,
he's
genuine.
Just a little upset because I couldn't say hello this morning because I was on the phone with someone.
It's unacceptable. When I say good morning, I expect good morning back immediately. I don't care if you're birthing a calf. I want a good morning back.
I've said this before, but what is wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
Birthing a calf.
Some people.
How does that even come into your mind to say?
My dad had horses when he was a kid, and he told me stories about times where he would have to birth a colt and then hop on the bus and go to school.
I was late for school once because we had a horse giving birth.
That's right.
And my dad couldn't take me to school.
Yeah. And Bailey was right in there, ready to catch.
No, I called the vet. I was also only in second grade.
Oh, my goodness. So, what have we done?
So, good segment from Wayne. That was fantastic. We've had a good day talking about Joey's Pizza and how much pain we're going to be in later today. We are recording this on Friday, June 28th, but when this goes out to everybody, it'll be July 1st.
Big day.
And that is roads. That is when the no hands policy will be in full effect.
So I can't drive with my hands on the wheel?
You can.
You can't drive if you have hands?
You can't use...
Hands are illegal?
...your hands to carry a phone and put it up to your face.
Oh.
Used to, you could do that.
Like we in the trucking industry have had to do for a long, long time.
That's true. It's very true. It's all very
and
true.
And now everybody else has to do what we do because it was determined that that was really safe?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. The wheels of government move slowly, but...
That's right. They do.
They eventually end up in the right place sometimes.
That's right.
Wow. That's
right. So, anyway, that law has gone into effect. I'm sure you've seen something about it. It's been everywhere. So, drivers, you obviously have been hands-free for a very, very long time. But for those of you who do not drive trucks that listen to our podcast and you live in Tennessee, that is a big law that's going into effect. And our drivers do eventually get in their cars and trucks and motorcycles and drive home. And I've kind of been trying to work this week on that, you know. And if, like, I'm driving to work and somebody calls me, you know, it's not – I understand texting and driving is a bad thing. I totally get that. But, like, picking up my phone and answering it and putting it to my ear, although you may be somewhat distracted, I don't look at that as still a terrible thing. You know, my eyes are still on the road. So, like, I was trying this week to be, like, our owner, Mike McFarland, called me one morning. I was like, what would I do? What would I do? I mean...
You need to be hands-free.
I wouldn't be able to pick the phone up and answer it.
You need to get a Bluetooth hookup or a Bluetooth headset.
Or just not answer the phone.
Or not answer the phone.
Pull over to the side of the road or whatever. So, yeah. I think we're going to have to train ourselves a little bit.
Well, the thing is, you know, there have been all these studies, and I agree with you that picking up the phone and holding it to your ear, both in common sense and in what's been studied and we have actual data on, it's not as severe as texting while driving. However, it is still a distraction and it still leads to crashes. And it's not just the talking on the telephone. It's the dialing of the phone. It's the reaching for the phone. That's why all those things have been illegal for us for a long time. So if it's bad for a truck driver, why did it take so long for everybody to figure out that, you know, it's bad for everybody else? They knew it was bad for everybody else, but it's a political thing of being able to pass.
I honestly think it's a way that I think they're doing it because to get the phone out of your hand. To stop you from texting. Like, I actually think this is, yes, it's all, you know, get it off your ear or whatever. I think this is more about texting than it is anything, because they're just trying to get you to get away from your phone. So you're not, because that's the problem. You pick up your phone for a call and you notice you've got a couple texts, and then you start texting and driving.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of getting, you know, put your phone somewhere really where you can't get it, and it's just life, you know, and people just have to get used to it. You know, there was a day and time where we didn't have phones in our cars. You know, have you thought about that?
Yeah.
Like when we were kids? Like, I mean, I have four kids, and my oldest has like a flip phone so I can get a hold of him. But like, what was life? I was around for it, but I don't remember it. What was life like in the 80s when people drove across the country and you maybe said, hey, I'm leaving the house and I'm driving, you know, like me, I'm driving to Texas this weekend, 10 hours.
I'll see you when I
get there.
Yeah. And I'm probably not going to call you when I get to Texas, because that's a long-distance phone call. Buku money right there. You're probably just going to have to wait till I get back.
Did they make it?
Don't know.
Did they have a flat tire? Did they break down?
Yeah. That was.
Did they choke at Cracker Barrel?
Could have. And you would never know until they didn't show it when they were supposed to show up.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, gosh, how did we? Can you imagine what life would be like as if they took cell phones away today?
Anarchy.
Yeah, it would be almost impossible, just because the culture has shifted.
Yeah, because nobody has a home phone anymore.
Yeah, everybody has a home phone? No.
Bailey, you probably don't have a home phone.
No, I had to pay for it though, because it came in my
bundle.
I think we got that, but too. I don't have it hooked up.
But you're expected now to be accessible at all times, and we've adjusted our work schedules, we've adjusted our personal schedules, we've adjusted our relationships, we've adjusted everything. It's predicated on, I know that I can call you anytime and you're going to answer the phone because your phone is always on you, and it's just the way things are now. It was awesome back then, but times change and evolve or devolve, however you want to look at it.
It'll be interesting to see how things change over time. I'm almost to the point, because I had a cell phone when I was in, I think my first phone, I got my first phone when I was like 17. So, I mean, most of my life I've had a phone on me.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I told someone the other day, if I wasn't a marketing director and handle all of our social media and didn't need to have access to like Twitter and Facebook and other things on the weekends and the nights, I'd get a flip phone.
Yeah.
Like I would regress back to simpler phones.
Yeah.
Because social media is a great thing for companies to build, and we're grateful for our social media and things like that. But, you know, it can also be very, very toxic as well, you know, for people.
Absolutely. Yeah, we could spend a whole podcast talking about the statistics about that.
So
I do have, you reminded me of, back when I was a kid, I have a very, very vivid memory of being at the boys' club playing football back in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And, you know, in a small town, there's always kind of the rich guy in town or the rich family in town.
Right.
So this man had a phone inside of his car.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had ever seen that. And it was like a regular phone, you know, with the cord on it and all that. Right. But, and they had the boomerang antenna on the back, like you used to see in limousines and things like that. And that's exactly what it was. And I thought, you must make $10 million a year to be able to afford that kind of luxury. And now look where we've got. We've got the whole of human knowledge in our pocket with us at all times.
It's incredible. I remember my dad had a bag phone. Do you remember the bag phones?
Oh, yeah.
And this would have been like 1994. 3, 4, 5. I can vividly remember leaving Wednesday night church, getting in the car, and ordering a pizza.
Oh my gosh.
From Domino's on the road.
Unbelievable.
And we were like, this is amazing.
when the pizza guy actually shows up, you know it's real.
Oh my gosh. Like, it was like, and you know, like, we didn't put our seatbelts on. We're like all huddled around, you know, the phone. Like, is this working? Is this going to happen? Bailey, you don't even have a memory. Like, do you remember life without a phone? Like a cell phone?
Not really. No. I remember flip phones.
Yeah.
When everyone had a flip phone and no one had. I remember when smartphones.
How old were you when you got your first phone?
10. But I got a flip phone.
But it would have been a flip. That's the other thing, too, is like it's amazing. Like, Sam, my oldest, is 15. He has a flip phone because I'm not going to give him a regular phone with the world at his fingertips.
Right.
That is too dangerous. And I will go places with other kids, and some kids have they're 4 or 5 years old,
yeah,
and they've got a smartphone.
Crazy. I mean, we had to get one for Ellie. We chose to get one for Ellie when she went to middle school, and we'll do the same for Gavin this year. But simply for convenience purposes for us, because they go to school in the middle of the city.
Absolutely.
And so there's pickups, and they're doing all kinds of after-school activities and all of that, so it makes it easier. And my original thought was, just like you, I'm not getting this girl a smartphone where, you know, she sees everything. So I was going to get her a prepaid flip phone just so she could communicate.
Right.
But those are not as cheap as you think they are either. So it was cheaper to add a real phone
to
our plan than it was to get one of
those.
It's tough.
I'm not judging anybody. No, it is hard.
No, and we wrestled with that. But once we also found out that, you know, especially they're Apple. I'm a Android person, but Jennifer and the kids are Apple, and there's cool stuff where you can do and link accounts and block. You know, certain things and monitor their activity. So it's all good, but it is amazing that somebody that's 11 years old has this super powerful phone.
It is a crazy, crazy world. And that's why I love having Bailey in here, honestly, because it's like, you know, you were born in 75, I was born in 80, she was born later. It's interesting to see those
later.
Those eight. I don't know when you were born. When were you born?
96.
So, I mean, there's a big age gap there, and it's interesting to see. And I know our drivers even feel it more, you know.
Oh, yeah. And especially like what Wayne was talking about. You know, those days before regulation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Smokey and the Bandit right there.
You just got your license and went out and
drove. And you were... You were trucking, and you did whatever you wanted to do or whatever you needed to do to
that's crazy.
Get that freight delivered.
Well, unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about the alligator. What was it called, Bailey?
The alligator emotional support animal.
The that gives people hugs and then bites their ear off after the hug.
It does not.
Unfortunately, you didn't get to hear that story.
I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
That we didn't get to hear that story.
Yeah.
I agree.
But it was a good show. We got to talk about Joey's Pizza, right? I'm going to get
I'm going to go get in line.
So we got to talk about that. We got to talk about a bunch of other stuff. We had Wayne Doris in today. It was a good day. Good podcast.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good week. I'll be in Texas.
See what are you doing in Texas?
We have a family reunion down there. Okay. But I'm taking 9 people in a van. 10 hours. That could have been a podcast on its own.
Is that today? Are you going to do that after the Gladiator?
No. That's not going to be until this weekend.
Okay, good.
But anyway, you guys have a great week. And drivers, we want to thank you for all that you do for us. Thanks for listening. We've been able to get some feedback from some people, and we love that. If there's something you want us to talk about, please let us know. And as always, remember, you can get these podcasts anywhere where you can get a podcast. We're moving up the ranks. We've had over 100 downloads, so we are having listenership. So thanks for joining us. This is the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Have a great day.